Welcome to Shaylee and Katie, the podcast, two work-from-home entrepreneurs who are laughing their way through parenthood. Hey guys, welcome back to Shaylee and Katie, the podcast. We are so excited because we have a big deal in the house tonight.
She's a big deal.
A big deal. Shaylee and I are geeking
you
out.
Guys.
Oprah Winfrey. No, I'm just kidding. No, but like, yeah, right. she's been on Oprah. She got off the phone with Oprah and then got on the phone with us. We don't know why. We don't know why you're here, Vanessa. But anyway, Vanessa Quigley is on the line tonight. If you don't know her, you're missing out. You're about to be obsessed with her. She is a mom, wife, a, wait for it, trained opera singer.
We're very excited about that.
And most recently, you would know her from being the inventor of chatbooks, the chatbooker in chief. She is a mom of seven.
Beautiful, can I say.
Like model.
Model children.
Yeah. Model human beings. Yeah. You're a model too. Oh my gosh, sorry. We're like, this is like.
Great husband. We're thrilled to have her.
Let's
here.
Clap her in all the way from Utah.
Vanessa.
Thanks, guys. That was quite the intro.
Well, we practiced it not at all before we started. So
that was just out of my heart.
Just the feeling.
So we're going to get into her amazing journey. She's got just the best story ever about business and family and how she's making all that work. But before we get into that, we of course have to thank our amazing sponsor.
Yeah.
If this is your first episode, you may not know this, but a lot of sponsors are beating down our door.
Just lines.
Just lots of them. We had grocery store sushi was a big one and yeah, throw pillows. But tonight, let's see, I haven't looked it up. This episode is brought to you by scrapbooking.
That could be awkward.
Oh, that's uncomfortable.
Scrapbooking.
Oh no.
Okay. Well, that, you know, it kind of, I mean, no.
I think this seems targeted. They knew Vanessa was going to be on and they're going straight for her.
They're feeling.
They're going for the juggler.
They're feeling a little bit of the heat.
Okay. Unfortunately, we are obligated to come up with some taglines for scrapbooking. Okay. So if you could just bear with us, Vanessa, I'm really sorry.
Okay. You got one?
Sure. Okay. Scrapbooking. How will you know it's a special moment without a sticker that says special moment?
That's a good point.
Scrapbooking.
I mean, that's a good point. Scrapbooking, when you want your photos to be edgy, as in scalloped edges.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Okay, that's good.
Just leave like one more to like
round. One more? Okay.
Unless Vanessa has anything.
Vanessa, do you have anything for scrapbooking?
Oh my gosh.
She's probably, legally, I don't know. Do you have like, you're not allowed to mention.
You know,
them.
There are some things that some places I don't go anymore, but. This was my world. What about like a paper crimper? That was kind of a thing.
Ooh, yes, you had to crimp it to really make
it stand out.
To make it three dimensional.
To make it stand out, literally. Make your picture stand out.
Okay, how about this? Ready?
Okay.
Scrapbooking. For when you want to keep thousands of 4x6 printed photos in a shoebox for 7 years.
Yeah.
Because you're totally going to get to it.
Oh, that's
totally.
Good. That's a good one. Oh.
Thanks, scrapbooking.
Okay. Yay.
That was good. Okay, so now we're going to get into
Vanessa.
The meat of Vanessa.
Wait. I don't like the way that came out. Of course, if you don't know chatbooks by now, you're missing out on the easiest way to make photo books in your life.
Like, literally the easiest. So I'm going to walk us through. We've posted about chatbooks before, but I have been a user for probably about the
Shaylee's
same amount of time.
Dating chatbooks.
I'm obsessed with chatbooks. Okay.
Yay.
But no, seriously. Okay. So you take pictures on your phone.
Yes.
We're going to break it down. If you want to, like, market this actual, like, audio, Vanessa, we'll talk after.
Okay.
Okay, this is going to be the best description you've ever heard. You take pictures with your phone.
Right.
And then you post them to social media so that everyone can see your photos.
Right.
And then somewhere in between there, you can't physically print out one photo and, like, tape it into a pre-made scrapbook even.
No.
Which is, like, I literally have scrapbooks that are, like, done for you. All you have to do is print one photo and tape it in there.
No.
Okay, so what it does...
Ain't nobody got time for that.
So what it does is it basically takes any photos you post to Facebook, Instagram, you can pick one or the other if you want,
right.
And then any photos you favorite, which I didn't even know you could favorite photos in your thousands and thousands of photos on your phone. So you click the little heart at the bottom of the photo, and then basically when it gets to 60, it puts them in this pretty little modern, clean book
and it ships it to you for $8. And that sounds super salesy, but like I do it.
Before
I was trying to get Vanessa on the podcast, I was just doing this. It was like a happy little person in Springfield.
You nailed it. You described it perfectly.
Oh my gosh.
It is magic. It's magic. What it is. It's
magic. It literally
magic.
Is. And then you say, well, what if it's the weird one of like that's dark on the cover? And so literally they send you an email and they say, hey, you got 60 pictures. We're about to send it out. And 9 times out of 10, I just leave it. But every once in a while, if I, like, have a spare moment and Opal's napping and I'm, like, sitting on the couch, I'll look through it and I might decide, I want this one for the cover instead of that one.
Right.
Or, oh, that caption was so long, it's taking up a full page, so I'm going to delete that. So you do have, like, access.
Options. You get to see it.
Yeah, to edit it if you want, but it's not necessary, which is, it's the, anyway, I have, like, a whole big old stack of them now, so it's so
cool. I'm so happy. You nailed it perfectly. That's exactly
right.
We try to set it up so that you don't have to do anything. We just do everything for you.
It's great. And
but
they
we're
have
not
custom ones
just
too.
Here to talk about chatbooks.
I am.
Also-
I'll stop.
Shaylee, I'm going to leave you alone.
We
want to
know about the woman behind it.
We want to know everything. So tell us about your entire life story.
No.
Oh my
gosh.
But tell us about your entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we'll kind of touch on the momming and business and how that whole thing, you navigate that afterwards. So.
Yes, please.
Right. Well, oh my goodness. Okay. So my entrepreneurial journey, it is so funny. I still can't believe that I am an entrepreneur because this is never something that I imagined that I would be. I, like you said, I was a trained opera singer. I am a trained opera singer. I wanted to be a performer, a singer, like on stage is where I always wanted to be. And, but before I graduated from college, I also had a baby. So that pursuing that full time the way I had thought that I was going to, I had to make some adjustments there. And I knew I'm the oldest of 12 kids and I knew I wanted a big family, which I considered 5. You know, that's what I wanted, 5 kids. Down the road, I ended up with 7. That didn't sound very good. I was blessed with 7. I love all of my 7 children, but as you can imagine, was a little busy with child rearing and raising to do much of anything else. Although I did carve out quite a bit of time for myself to sing because that was my happy place. That was my outlet. And, you know, that was the gift that I was given. And so it makes me happy. It makes me maybe a better mom when I was pursuing that.
Yeah.
My husband, on the other hand, he is the entrepreneur and his whole career starting and selling and running businesses. And so he would often want to talk about a business plan that we could do together. And I had no interest. You know, I had my life. I was happy with my life, with my kids, with my singing, and I was the boss of my world. And he had his life, and he was the boss of his world.
Yeah.
And I just didn't need to go there.
You're like, I'm a sing. You do you.
Yeah, exactly. But a couple of years ago, I had a moment, kind of a turning point for me. And it's funny that you use scrapbooking as the sponsor because scrapbooking was actually a really big part of my life as a young mom. I really felt like it was an important part of my job to document and, you know, keep the stories of our family together, you know, keep those documented. So I was very good about taking pictures and of everything. And then, you know, back in the early days when the kids were young and I could put them to bed early and my husband worked, you know, just constantly. So I would have all these hours by myself at night. And so I would scrapbook.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that for years until 2 more kids came along.
Until kid like 4?
Actually, yes. Kid 4 has like maybe the first week of his life in a scrapbook. But yeah, more kids. And then also digital photography changed a lot of things because you didn't have to print photos anymore. So you could just be like, oh, I'll get to that later. And you end up just with like a hard drive full.
Right.
And then I have right now currently a stack of hard drives of photos that I am slowly getting back to chatbook. But yeah, there was this moment where my youngest, when he was, let's see, he's 9 now, so he was 6, and he was in bed one night. I went to check on everybody, and I found him in bed crying. And when I asked him what was wrong, he rolled over, and I noticed that he was holding a little photo book that his preschool teacher had made for him, just like a dollar store album. She had taken photos throughout the year of their field trips and parties and activities. And as a graduation present, she'd put together these little albums for each of the kids in the class. And he was literally holding that to his chest. and through his tears told me that he never wanted to grow up. And I thought it was so adorable, first of all, that this little boy was already feeling nostalgic. But then I was just slammed with massive amounts of guilt that all he had to show for his life so far were these few photos from preschool.
Don't worry, honey, your kindergarten teacher's got it.
I hadn't printed a single photo of him. We had Christmas cards once a year. I'm pretty good about getting a Christmas card. But he didn't have a baby book or scrapbook or even any printed photos. And that was just wrong. And I felt terrible about that. And anyway, I took that moment and went to my husband, who was currently working on another idea that he had, kind of a cloud-based solution for family memories. And I said, you know what? I want pictures in a book. I want you to print my Instagram, because I don't have time to scrapbook. I don't have time to do anything that I'm not already doing. One thing that I was doing was sharing photos on Instagram with my friends and family. Yeah. We've moved all over. We've lived all over the country, all over the world. We have friends everywhere. And I'm so bad about writing letters or even making phone calls. But one way that I like to feel like I'm connected to my friends and family is through social media. So I had been using Instagram to not post everything, you know, but the highlights at least. Right. And I thought if I could just have those in a book, that would be better than nothing. And then poor Declan would have more to show for his life than the trip to the fire station and the Easter party at school. So I was really fortunate that he, my husband had this little team in place. And actually at that time we were, I think he was feeling a little desperate enough to make the change, because the thing he'd been working on hadn't really been getting any traction. And so he took my idea and he built it out and we started printing chapbooks, and the rest is history. Turns out it was a really good idea.
It's
and
a really I was good only, idea.
The only mom that wanted that needed this in her life to alleviate the guilt, to help hold on to those memories, the things that matter, you know. So that's how I found myself in this whole mess. And you know, to be honest, I when I gave the idea to my husband, I said, "You go do this." Yeah, and I watched from the sidelines. But as they were working on it, I'm like, "Oh, you know, maybe it should be like this, or maybe that's not the right color, or that I really like that font." And I think it got really annoying for him to hear all of my like little suggestions off the sidelines. But I also realized that, you know, this is a huge market opportunity, and this is a product for me and women like me. And there wasn't a single woman in the office working, and they had no money to hire anybody else. And so I just started showing up and started, you know, literally Googling how to market a startup, how to get, you know, press, how to do anything, because you know, I'm a singer and I have no background in business or anything. And one of the real fortunate things was that my youngest was in school all day. So it was like that first time in my life where I had my days free. And instead of going to yoga and to lunch and playing tennis, like I had always dreamed that I would do with all that free time, I was going to work. But it wasn't like work. It was so fun. So it still is so fun. And so,
how cool.
Yeah, that's what got me on this entrepreneurial crazy journey. But honestly, it does feel like performance in a way. You know, my background is all in performing. And because I have no background really in business, I had to act like I did.
Fun fact, I don't think many people, like, I feel like the whole fake it till you make it. I feel like the more bigwigs that I meet, the more I'm like, hey, you're just a normal
person. None of us know what we're doing.
You know what? And that is the thing. That is the message I feel like I am supposed to give, because I was so intimidated, especially those first times, those first interviews I had, or the first times I had to go on TV and talk about this, or, you know, people are like, oh, a woman in business, you know, we want to hear everything you have to, but I felt so unqualified. But the truth is, who's saying what qualifies you?
Yeah.
You
know, like, you're absolutely
we are all our own type of entrepreneur. We just have to be ourselves. And you know, admitting that you don't know everything, I think that's like the first step in accomplishing anything. Mm-hmm.
That's good. Woo! So that's good. Preach.
Anyway, I don't
know. Yeah. Well, a lot of our listeners are, I feel like, we have a lot of like single ladies that are doing the whole, they want to quit their day job or they're doing the whole entrepreneurial, creative entrepreneur thing. And then we also have a lot of moms mm-hmm. that are either working and want to not be, or they're trying to launch their own thing but can't figure out how to do it with kids. So like when Katie and I were even talking about it, we're like, it's not like you were some big booming success and then like had all these kids. It's like, no, you had 7 kids.
Yeah. Got 7 kids into
when
school.
When you launched Chatbooks.
Yeah, that's amazing.
With, and how many years has it been now since the first meetings where you were Googling startups?
Yeah, it's been almost 3 years.
Yeah, so that's like, I don't know, it's just very inspiring that it's like you can make it happen. And it's something you enjoyed. I was listening to another podcast and they were saying if you don't enjoy the journey that you're on to success, then you're not going to be enjoying it once you get there either. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of the same thing of like you were loving it. You found your groove working with your husband and you were the free manual labor that they needed at the time for the startup.
Totally. Well, you know, a big part of it for me, if it would have been a very different story if I had this idea and no one to go to help me make mm-hmm. it happen. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, I literally knew nothing. But I was really fortunate that my husband, who knew a lot about business management, already had a tech team in place and happens to be my partner in life, who was advocating for, you know, who was my helper and my, you know, and my teammate, and my cheerleader along the way. Like if I hadn't had him, the first step would have been to find somebody, to find a partner somewhere, someone that like rounded out the skill set that I lacked and who could help me out. Because yeah, like doing anything with 7 kids is hard. Doing anything with 2 kids is hard. Honestly, when I had my 2nd kid, I thought my life was over. I did not know how I was ever going to do anything again. Kids are wonderful, but they make life a lot more complicated. So, you know, for women with children that want to run a business, I don't think anyone does it on their own. And if you think they do, then they're faking that because they're not. Behind the scenes, there is a whole slew of people. Yeah. I was just listening to a podcast about Jessica Alba. You know, she's actress and the face of Honest Company, a really successful business. And I know from the get-go, I was like, oh my gosh, how does she do it all? I mean, besides, you know, you always think actresses, they have nannies, they have help behind the scenes. But like, there's more than the domestic help. There's all, like all of the, you know, how do you grow a business like that and manufacture and do everything that's involved. And turns out she has a whole team of really talented, really smart people. I mean, she is very smart and talented as well. Right. But it's not just her. She has a whole team of people.
Right.
And so, you know, for all of us that with ideas that of businesses or, you know, any venture that we want to grow, it takes teamwork.
Yeah, that's so
good. It's never just one person.
Well, and smart and talented people, if you're that smart, then you know that you need other people as well. If you're trying to do it all yourself, that's where it like will eventually usually crash and burn. Because it's like open it up to like you can't hoard everything. And if you're, you know, you think that you're the best at doing every single aspect of it, like you're not. There's going to be someone who does a part of that better, and you have to open it up to depend on other experts. Mm-hmm. Yep. Otherwise, I'd be trying to learn like coding
100%
or whatever. That
right.
That is so true. So true.
Well, we read a snippet of how you describe work-life balance, and it knocked my socks off. Not to build this up.
She's literally barefoot right now.
But my socks are off.
A little uncomfortable.
So would you tell us a bit about how you think about work-life balance and whether it's a myth or not?
Oh my gosh, now I'm wondering, what did I say?
We're just going to read your answer for you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just very good.
You know, it's a question that I get asked all the time. And I've realized that women get asked this question more than men. In fact, I don't think my husband ever once did anyone ever ask him on anything, any panel or any
podcast. How do you do it with 7 kids?
I know, because, why is that? It's such a double standard. Yeah, it's a myth. Work-life balance, there is no balance. You know, my whole life before Chatbooks, it was my family. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, my singing. It was supporting my husband in his work. That was my life. And there was never balance there either. Mm-hmm. You know, I always wanted him home more. I always wanted to be singing more, you know. And now that we are both working in this same company together, it has changed, like, our home life a little bit and how we balance, you know, those roles. And there are times where I have to travel for work and he is home with the kids more. But it's never like, if you try to imagine it as a scale, as like give and take, to try to even it out and make it even between me and him, or even between, you know, what you're doing at work and what you're doing at home, it's never, you're just going to be frustrated beyond belief. And so we always refer to it as our life's work. Like this, and Nate refers to it as our, Nate's my husband and my co-founder, as like the family farm analogy, that we're all working on this farm together. And it includes, you know, slopping the cows and cleaning the floors and, you know, hanging the laundry out to dry, like all that stuff. If you like try to go back to like in time where that's how families, you know, they lived and they did all of the work together that was required to live and survive. That's kind of what we're doing here. And our kids are involved. I feel like as a family, we are all equally yoked in some way to make our business a success and our family a success. So we refer to it as our life's work. And we try not to get bent out of shape when we feel like we're not getting, you know, enough of what we need or what we want. It all works out in the end if you just keep trying to do your very best.
Beautiful. I love it. I loved the phrase life's work. So you're like, it's not like I'm working here and I'm not working when I'm at home. It's all work, all of it. It's all.
Well, and that is the nature of entrepreneurship and a startup. You know, all through my husband's career, I thought, why couldn't he have been a dentist? all my friends with dentist husbands, you know, they would work four days a week. And when they came home, like you can't like drill teeth at home. So they'd be home to do whatever they wanted or whatever their wives wanted.
Right. And it's not life threatening. So they're like, oh, an emergency. Yeah. I'll see you in the morning at 8:00. You know, it's not.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just felt like, oh, that is the life. You know, it was frustrating for me to have my husband home, but not really 100% there because, you know, he had this company that he was in charge of and running. And another question I get asked a lot is, what is it like to, you know, be working with your husband? And I cannot say enough about it. For Nate and I, it has been nothing but awesome.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I love about it is I have gotten to know him so much better. Like there's this whole part of his life that I didn't know about, like in the boardroom and at, you know, these events in just everything, like everything that consumed his life when he was not with me, I was clueless about.
Right.
And so now we are doing it together and I just feel so much closer to him. And also I found myself a couple of times like apologizing, like, I am so sorry. I had no idea. Like, because it's hard. It is hard. It's stressful. And so now that we're doing that together and it's brought us closer.
No, I think that's great. My husband and I work together full time, and it's kind of the same thing as you hear a lot of questions about, like, how could you guys be together just all the time? And, you know, there are some, I'm a talker. So sometimes he needs to go into the other room or the basement and say, text me. Don't shout down the stairs if you have a tech question that you need answered or whatever I need. And so, I don't know, I think that's encouraging to hear of a couple that like works together and you figure out the flow and the way that that works. And it's not, something that has to be negative, but you get to see like your work side. That's like a whole nother side of the personality.
Yeah.
I have to say it's kind of sexy too. Yeah. We were in a meeting the other day and he was up at the whiteboard writing stuff away and
wearing those pleats.
All of a sudden I my mind started to wander and he turned around and I must have had a silly grin on my face because he's like, what's so funny? What are you laughing at? I'm like, nothing. He's like, what? And I'm like, I will tell you later.
I will tell you off work time. This is not work appropriate.
No one else in this room wants to.
Oh, there was a room full of people. I love maybe it. You were just in his office. No. Room full of people. Do you have a question?
I was wondering if you could life coach us for a little bit.
How do we make the next chatbooks that's not competing but equally successful?
Just life.
Life coach.
So Shaylee has a thing she's working through and I have a thing I'm working through. So
it's called motherhood.
It's called motherhood. So I am 31. I have 3 kids. I work from home. I'm a wedding photographer. And
You're a more photographer than that, but well, you do primarily weddings.
And I just found out that I am pregnant with my 4th
kid.
And it was a surprise!
Congratulations!
And so I think what's inspiring about your story is my first panic moment that I had was just sort of like a, well, now I have to add 7 years
onto like
my plan,
my life's my sentence of before I can do anything at all, and I'm gonna have to just pause and do the mothering thing for 7 more years, and then and everyone else is gonna pass me by in the business world or in the photography world, and they're gonna go on to do great things, and I'll just be here changing diapers and watching Daniel Tiger for 7 more years.
She goes, I can't do Daniel Tiger for 7 more years. And I go, Daniel Tiger's a good one. I like Daniel Tiger. She goes, yeah. And it was great for 7 years.
I can't do 7 more.
Can't do it.
I know that's not true, and a lot of it is hormones, but I think about how you said, you've raised 7 kids. I mean, the word raised, I know, they're never raised.
9. 9's pretty, it's getting close.
It's true, but you've sent 7 kids into school, and that was before you even started this thing. So yeah. I think it's just inspiring to me to think, like, you don't even know what life has.
No, but those years when you are watching Daniel Tiger, or for me it was Blue's Clues, or Little South. Einsteins, yeah. You know, and you think, I'm going to lose my ever-loving mind. I can't do this another day. And inside of you, there's a spark to do something else,
right.
You know, but the constraints of the, you know, the schedule of these little people and wanting to make that a priority, it is really hard to do both. And so there's 2 ways to do it. You just to say, I'm going to wait. This is not the time and season. Mm-hmm. This is the season for this, and that will be later. And whatever opportunities I think I'm missing right now, you know, there will be other opportunities later down the road. Or you say, I don't have to be here 100% of the time. I can hire help.
Right.
And it's okay. I'm still a good mom if I am not sitting here with my children all day long. and I know not everyone feels that way. And I, you know, as I, you know, took different roles and did different singing gigs while I was raising my kids, you know, I did have friends who I know did not approve of what I was doing. Like, how could I leave? How could I not be there for the dinner hour every mm-hmm, night? Mm-hmm. If I were doing a show and it ran 6 weeks, I wasn't home for dinner, any of that. But my husband has incredible memories of being the one to be home mm-hmm, for dinner for those 6 weeks. He couldn't do it for another 6 weeks. It was a good thing. It was like, only a 6 week run.
Done. Done.
And quite honestly, it was a great job for me because then I could come home too. It wasn't like a full-time intensive, like, they were just like part-time stints. I was a better, happier person and mother because I was doing those things. So I'm 100% supportive of women exploring their passions and their developing their talents and working on something outside of the home. I had a nanny helping me after I had my fifth baby. I would have done it sooner if I knew. I was just too, like, underwater of babies. But I started hiring help. Yeah. And I had regular help that came to, first of all, let me get out of the house alone because I really needed some alone time, but also to work on some of these other things that I wanted to work on.
Yeah.
So, there are just 2 different ways to do it.
And that's a good answer.
Neither one of them is right or wrong.
Yeah, and that's not an all or nothing where it's kind of like you don't leave your house ever or you work 8 to 5 forever.
Yeah.
Like it's one or the other. But that's kind of a like, I'm going to be better these 12 hours if I get 2 to go do something I love that makes me come alive as a person and remember that like I'm a fun human.
Right.
And I'm going to be great with my kids now or whatnot.
Well, and there are... There is a truth to maybe some missed opportunities. Like there are roles that I always wanted to play as a singing actress, which now that I'm turning 45 this year, I will never get to play. I didn't get to play back then because I was raising babies. And now I'm probably more eligible for the grandmother roles.
Oh, no.
But, in that sense, you know, I missed my shot at playing Maria in The Sound of Music.
Oh,
but
I think you still look totally like you could play that role. Yeah.
But there are so many opportunities out there that I never knew existed. And so just tuck that away in the back of your mind if you're not exactly doing it the way you want to do it now, that there will be a time.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Thanks, Vanessa.
Words from Vanessa.
Thanks,
you
Maria.
You should start doing every other page in the chat book is just an inspirational Vanessa
life
quote. A life coach. Like, hey, Mom.
Well, you know what? I do. I did write a book that is launching May 2nd. It is called Real Moms, Real Hacks. And it's a collaboration with some of my favorite moms.
Okay.
They're all life hacks for moms.
Yes.
to make your life easier, happier, run more smoothly. And there is some amazing stuff in there. So you might want to check that out.
Okay. And when does it launch?
So May 2nd, it'll be available on Amazon and also through Chatbooks.
Okay.
And if you follow us on social media, you'll see tons of stuff about
it. Okay.
I go on tour starting the 9th. We're doing a little nationwide book tour, and I'm super excited about it. Awesome. But I think there are lots of moms out there that feel like they're drowning. I do a lot of user interviews where I get to talk to our customers, and most of our customers are moms, and it's amazing how much of those conversations we end up just talking about, like, I know, sister, it's so hard.
Yes.
But you know, hang in there. But there are little hacks that we can implement in our life to just make things a little bit easier. Yeah. And you know, one of them is, it's a 2-page spread in the book, and it says, don't be afraid to ask for or hire more help.
Word.
And that is something that I really feel strongly about.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, we'll link the book.
Yes, absolutely.
But that's like very exciting.
You're speaking exactly to what we need to hear.
Well, and I think me too is that I have one. Katie has like four, basically. One not earthed yet.
I don't have 7.
She doesn't have 7. You're feeling good.
I'm feeling good.
Watch out, though. Watch out. Mine were all surprises.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, man.
All of them?
Every single one.
Well, not all. No. Not all of them, but let's say the last 4 or 5.
I have one, and she's 17 months. And so I feel a lot of guilt. Not even guilt, but like when I start feeling stressed out, then I just think like, why are you feeling stressed out? Like, you have one child. Get it together. Katie has 3. Vanessa has 7. And she's running a super successful business. No, you know, I don't know. The mom brain things. And so I think, like, not allowing myself, I never feel like I have the right to feel overwhelmed because I only have one. And I have a flexible schedule and I work from home. So it's like, all of these things. But then if I ever look at a true stay-at-home mom, then I'm like, so wait, let me get this straight. You wake up and it's like breakfast and like playtime. And I know there's a lot that goes into it. It's a hard job because sometimes you're like, I'm going to die if I make one more breakfast and playtime. But, like, that's all you're doing. Right. You're not trying to like be like, honey, can you play with this puzzle for 30 seconds? Mommy has to send an email. Like, you know, and then whatever. You're just kind of like in the both mindsets all the time. So anyway, I'm working through it and I'm getting better, but I'm kind of in the crossroads of like, do I do a Mother's Day out 3 hours a morning for 2 days a week? Or am I a failure? If one kid, I can't handle it and I need help 2 days a week for 3 hours. I don't know.
Vanessa says,
Vanessa says,
And you know what? Another thing that I think is really hard is that like trying to grab, you know, 30 seconds while your kid's putting a puzzle together to try to like make your brain do something else. Like, I think it's, for me, I can't. Like, I go to the office, I do my work there. And then when I come home and once the kids start coming home, I try to be here when the kids get home from school. I try not to even look at my phone or my computer and just do that. Because if I'm trying to be in both places,
neither.
It makes me a bad mom. It makes me a bad, you know, chatbooker in chief. I can't do both at the same time. So, but when you have little kids and they're home all day and you're home all day and you're like, well, I don't really want to pay anybody to sit here and play puzzles. I think it's find a really fun mother's helper.
Yeah.
Like a girl from the neighborhood who's like really fun and your children will get so excited to play with them.
Yes.
And let them take them down to the basement or to another part of the house, like away from where you can't see them or hear them and they don't even register on because the minute because that mom brain is so strong and so finely tuned that it's really hard to turn off that reflex to think about them. And then get the work done that you need to do and want
to do. That's so good. Well, I have a little homeschool precious angel who's in 5th or 6th grade, and she comes by for 2 hours once a week.
And she calls her mother's little helper.
And I call her mommy's little helper, and Katie was like, what? It's like, mommy's little helper. It's like a girl that comes by and stays at the house. And she's like, I've never. And so I'm like, Vanessa knows.
Yeah, okay, I know.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
I know.
That makes me feel
that's
good.
So good. Thank you. Okay. Well, we thank you so much for being on. We have a little game we'd like to play with you.
Yeah.
If you're feeling frisky.
Oh, yeah. I'm feeling it.
It's our segment.
It's our segment for this episode, and it's called
Chatbook It
or leave it out. Now, we're going to tell you a photo we have on our phone, and you're going to give us your expert advice of whether we should put it in the chat book or whether or not we should leave it out.
Leave it out.
Okay? It's called Chat Book or Leave It Out. That's good.
Okay. That's trademarked, by the way, so don't get any ideas.
Don't.
I love it. Okay. All right. Well, we could talk later. Okay.
We'll talk after we're recording.
Okay. So I have them on my phone here. I was at Target, and I was trying to scan a barcode for the Target Cartwheel app, but I accidentally took a screenshot. I took a photo. So it's just like a Target barcode. Yeah, it's just like a...
Of a barcode.
Yeah, it's just like a barcode. So should I chat book it or leave it out? What do you think?
Well, I'm going to have to say leave it out.
Okay.
That's tough.
Am I right?
That's tough, but fair.
I feel like you're right. Okay. This one is called Easter Photo Shoot. So I had an Easter photo shoot of Opal. We were in matching dresses. Mm-hmm. I have 276 individual shots of Opal in the same dress. I didn't even change the angle of the background. She's crying in 75% of them. Do I chatbook them all?
Oh, man.
Or do I leave some of them out?
What do you think?
You guys, these are like trick questions because the businesswoman in me would say, put them all in.
You know, that was a trick question.
You answered it.
When we were talking about it before, I'm like, businesswoman says, you chatbook all 275 of those.
Oh my God.
That's good.
That's like, hang on, let me do the math. That's like, what?
You know, one.
I know, I'm trying to do it. That's like four books at least. Yeah.
You should do that. Sometimes I have trouble making decisions if I'm going to buy furniture. So like last weekend I went to IKEA. I ended up taking like 75 photos of just various IKEA displays furniture. They're all in my phone. Do you think that's worth a book?
Just like one whole
book? My day at IKEA.
Like a custom book, maybe.
A custom book.
I could see that. Yeah. That could be a thing.
Yeah. Then I could
My phone is actually full of pictures like that. And I actually put some of those in my book just because it's like a timestamp, right? Like 10 years down the road, you're gonna be like, ooh, that's what I wanted. Like,
what are those little ugly plants that are kind of like cactus, but not really, that everyone has everywhere?
That's good. So chat book, maybe one of them just for time.
Or make a collage.
Oh,
put a little collage of them in there. And
you could start selling them. It could be like the domino for chatbooks, and it'll be like an interior design chatbook.
It's like
fraudulent images.
It's like an IKEA catalog that you pay for, and is worse.
Right. Worse quality, you pay money for it. There you go.
Perfect. Okay. Well, thank you. I feel more equipped now to chatbook.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And yeah.
It's literally.
Well, I do have to say, there are, I am surprised at how many photos people take out of their books. You know, they connect them to Instagram.
Right.
We, like you were saying so eloquently, we pull in all those posts that you put in Instagram, and then people go back and take so many of them out. But like the memes and the funny things, like that's part of your life story. Like, don't take that out.
Super long caption.
You know, and I often take pictures of, like, I'll come home and clearly someone's been rummaging for something in the laundry room because everything in the dryer is now on the floor.
Oh,
and
clean.
I'll take a picture of it and text it out to all my kids and be like, okay, who was it? Those pictures often make it into my chat books because that's part of our story. And the kids hate it. They're like, Mom, why'd you put that in there?
Do you make like a mugshot that you post next to it, like a side-by-side of the mugshot of the kid, the culprit, and the...
Yeah, okay, and here he is. But, like, one day when my house is empty and immaculate, I'm going to miss those days. And so I'm going to want all that to hold on to.
That's good.
I say for the prices that we charge for chapbooks, you can afford to be very liberal with what you put in your
book. And I was also going to say, you mentioned memes. Katie told a few of her friends that she was pregnant by sending out the Jim Gaffigan meme of the quote that said,
if you want to know what it's like to have four kids, just imagine you're drowning and someone hands you a baby.
Yeah, that's the four. So you could chatbook it.
I love him.
Now we do have him. We do. Yeah, he's like the best. We do have a code, Shaylee and Katie.
Yeah, we're affiliates, baby.
If you don't know how to spell it, look at the picture that you're listening to right now. but you get, if you sign up for the and the automatic ones is not like they just start sending you all these books and you get charged for like hundreds of dollars or whatever.
Right.
You can pick which ones you do and don't want in. But if you sign up for the every 60 photos, it sends you a book. You get the first book free.
First book free.
10% off of the custom stuff.
Yep.
With the code.
Yeah, and they've got cute papers. You guys keep partnering yes, with great oh, stuff. Joy. Oh, Joy. Oh, Rifle the, Paper yes. Co.
I totally.
Lisa Compton. Oh,
they're oh, doing so many good ones. Everything right.
Their I did commercials Christmas are ones. Funny. The commercials, okay, we'll link their commercials because they're hilarious.
You definitely have to link the commercials because so that girl is keeping goodness. It real.
So she, funny.
I really, really, really am so happy with how that turned out because oh. that is all of us. She is me. That's right. I just the mom who is like chaos and craziness happening all around you, but you lose it and then you're like, and we're back, and we're back. To talk about.
And we're back. I've got it together. I'm driving a literal yeah. van. Yes. Like a van bus to fit my children inside of it, but I've got it.
We wrote down one of our favorite quotes from it. Chatbooks cost just $8. That's what you pay for a day's worth of diapers, except you fill chatbooks with the kind of crap you care about.
That's our favorite.
Well done, copywriter.
That's our favorite.
Well done, copywriter. Yay. Okay, well, thank you so much, Vanessa.
Yeah.
Your time is precious. You're
welcome. You guys are awesome. You keep going for it. I love that you're doing this. This is an amazing outlet for – I love listening to podcasts, and this is exactly the type of stuff that I like to listen to. Just, I love hearing stories of other women just trying to do what – you know, just do their thing.
Do it.
And all the different ways of doing it and celebrating the successes and of the – a variety of successes and failures, quite honestly, because there's plenty of failures and tears along these roads, mm-hmm. as glamorous as they sometimes may look and seem. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's a trail of tears as well.
So, that's so good. There's, let's be honest, with hormones, there's always tears sometimes for no reason.
I know. And maybe some random chin acne, you know, those hormones are brutal.
When does that stop?
All right, Vanessa, okay. We love you. Too soon?
Too soon.
You get back to Oprah.
Yeah,
thanks.
Tell her thanks for being on hold this whole time. Like, that's really sweet. That's really sweet. She's got more time on her hands.
You guys are awesome.
Thank you for listening to Shaylee and Katie, the podcast. You can find us on Facebook or on Instagram at Shaylee and Katie. And if you want to be our best friend, you can leave us a review on iTunes. Those are greatly appreciated. Seriously.
Are you being serious?